This is the tale thus far. Deep in the dune seas of Maya lies Mareel, the last standing city of Mashkala. This is a city of magi and mystics, thieves and cutthroats, a city where the shadows themselves watch your every move. In this place, a band of unlikely adventurers will come together to unearth ancient artifacts, hidden temples, and a plot that threatens the very fabric of reality. A plot beyond the control of the gods above and below is unfolding. In this dark time, a folk story has come to light, and the only hope for the survival of the city and all of creation may be a legendary artifact known as the Crown of Queens.
Stops at the door and turns to look at Silent.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we've mentioned the person that has set us on this path to find these keys. I'm about to go speak with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just be ready. I've not seen a creature like him before.
Also, there are many things that lurk in this, this garden area, so be ready for
that. Cool. Good.
There's Gochaga Fupa right there!
And he opens the door and walks out.
So as Silent walks out behind Emmerich, she sees a large garden path. It's a walled, you're in a large walled-in area. There's a lot of beautiful trees. There's a lot of beautiful greenery, crushed obsidian stone mixed in with gravel that leads from the door from that you just exited to a door that is walled in area. You can also see six towers, three to the east and three to the west, equal intervals. And they all seem to be crackling with a bit of arcane magic. As she looks up, something that none of the party has seen yet, they've seen it being constructed, but now it is fully functioning. There is, if you can envision in your mind, the head of an axe, like a woodcutter's axe, that same shape, kind of tapered. There is an airship that is floating probably 100 feet off the ground. It looks as if it is a seaworthy vessel. It is just gently hovering in the air.
About how big is it?
Fairly large. I have a map for it. Probably 70 foot long by 10, 15, 20, 25. So it's just 30 feet wide at its smallest. Maybe 90 feet by 40 feet at its widest.
Big.
Yeah, it's like a pirate ship. It's floating in the fucking air.
It's an airship.
Yeah. And Silent sees, as she looks down the path, there's a figure standing on the path. Stands about 7 foot tall, slightly. Long arms, long legs. He has two horns that curl up from his brow and kind of go back across the top of his skull. He has a large mohawk and mutton chops. Two small golden tusks that jut out from his kind of ruby skin, ruby gold flecked skin face. He's a troll. If you know what trolls look like, he's a troll. But he's wearing a purple suit jacket, no shirt underneath it. Purple suit pants, no shoes. He has an Ephraim's razor hanging from a golden belt around his waist. And he's just kind of standing with a finger against his lower jaw, like an index finger's kind of crooked lower jaw. And he's looking at an area on the floor or on the grass that caster level show. Oh, okay. Sorry. He's looking, it's okay. He's looking at an area in the garden where he has some arcane energy kind of flowing in a large 15 foot by 15 foot square. And he doesn't look over to you. He's just kind of standing there. And Silent is taken by his, just looking at him. There's something unnatural about him. Not uncomfortable, just there's something about looking at this figure that inspires a slight bit of awe. but it's unnatural awe. It's not like it's not like he's done something great or you know anything about him. There's just a bit of unnatural awe that kind of exudes from him. And he doesn't look over, and he just says, "Emmerich, did you find another key?"
"You found two, actually."
"Oh, good. Come here and tell me all about it."
Silent makes eye contact with Emmerich and Plerion as they walk past her because she's not approaching. Just kind of like gives him a look.
I'll give Silent like a little hand gesture, like it's cool.
Uh-huh.
And I'll walk up with.
Before we even found the keys, we found our new companion over here, Silent. She's proven valuable in the field and seems to be a journalist of some knowledge.
I do like writers, and he kind of looks over and makes eye contact with you. Hi.
She raises one hand, like, in a little wave, but it's very shaky. She's like, "Silent Nocturne, you might have heard of me."
"I haven't. Hanzibar, you may have heard of me."
"Have I heard of him?"
Roll a d20. Now.
Yeah. Okay.
"Welcome to the Night Garden. Plerion has been kind enough to allow us to stay here."
"Is this Plerion's house?"
"He holds the deed."
"Or whatever that's worth, I guess."
"Quite a lot. It's sheltered from the storm right now."
"Well, thank you."
"Just honest, my friend." Then he kind of pats you on the shoulder. "Emmerich, tell me what you found."
"So we found this first key," and I hold up the gold with a diamond shape. It's got two blue bands on it. "This one was fairly easy to locate after we arrived to a seemed to be a deserted city. It was buried in a chamber with some sort of magical instrument, a rod or a wand or some sort of thing. But before we could get a better look at it, someone or something came in and took it."
"What else did you see?"
"The other key we found in an active doorway, the one that we came back through. But to get to that one, we had to defeat a rather large, angry monster and swim through an underwater tunnel."
"We were separated from the first doorway by a djinn of some power. He had a lot of minions to his command, so we ended up having to find our way under the abandoned Starstone City through what Emmerich is talking about, to the giant tentacle creature."
"An abandoned Starstone City? Tell me more about that."
"Well, that's where the first portal led us at the beginning of our journey."
"The portal, I believe, was actually above that. We had to go through several trapped hallways and make our way down several tunnels before we could get to the city. Even then, we weren't able to approach it. We just walked by it."
"We should probably tell them about the map of the gods, too, that we found out."
Silent is, like, looking back and forth between the two of her traveling companions. She's like shaking her head like, "Don't tell them anything about anything, I think." She's like, but she isn't like approaching or anything.
What's going through Silent's head? "That's the actual devil."
"That
Well, in the city with the snake statues, we found a room of projection type room. It had strange symbols with projections of all the deities that we know of, the gods above and below, but then it had some that we didn't know of in the places on the mirror, on the reflection of the ones that we did know."
"Emmerich, did you look at this?"
"I did. I'm afraid I don't quite know any of the other figures on the other side, or..."
"May I touch you?"
"Lee?"
Hans just kind of reaches up and puts his hand on your face. His like thumb.
"Check your equipment first."
His thumb goes under, like right under your emerald eye, and he just kind of looks into your eye. Interesting. "Well, we have much to discuss. Where's the brat at?"
"She's showing her accommodations to the other guests we've brought along."
"Oh, good. You brought more people?"
"Not really a people."
"Also has a razor."
"Oh, now that's interesting development. Here, do me a favor. Step in the square."
Silent is very furiously shaking her head now.
"Step in the square."
Silent's like, no, don't do it.
"Hell to the no. To the no.
Hans has invested a great deal of time and some power and energy. I'd really hate to think that this would be how it ends, but I don't think that is how he would take care of it. He steps into the magical energy."
Excellent. Clarion, could you please join him?
I do.
Madam Silent, was it? If you don't mind.
I think I do mind.
Fair enough. Randolph. Randolph comes running out of the house. Yes, Mr. Hanzobar? Step in the circle, please. Of course, Mr. Hanzobar. And he, Randolph will stand in the circle with you. And Hans kind of leans down. He says, this shouldn't hurt. And he runs his hand along the edge of the magical energy. And you guys, very much like when you're using Emmerich's hut, but sort of in reverse, you get smaller inside the space. Now Hans seems to tower above you as if he is an entity the size of the cosmos. And you guys are very microscopic, standing in the grass. Blades of grass shoot up above you like a mountain. And he goes, excellent, it works.
Do I see them?
You see them until they're so small that you can't see them anymore.
So I just see them like shrink and then they disappear?
Yes.
Hey, what the fuck? She steps over.
The weird.
Yeah,
what the fuck, like really, really loud.
It's too loud. That's the thing. It's just you guys are so small that it's sonically you wouldn't register. Hans looks over at you and Silent looks over at Silent. They're fine. They're just very, very small.
Why?
I have finally found the location of something I've been looking for a very long time. And in order to hide something to make it very, very small. I'll tell you more about it over dinner. Let me bring them back. And you guys kind of see Hans move with the energy of a colossal deity. And all of a sudden you watch him shrink as the world around you kind of comes back into focus and you're back to normal size. From Silent's perspective, you just see them grow almost instantaneously back to normal size. There was no pain or discomfort. Thank you, gentlemen. Randolph, I believe Master Plarion has asked you to finish dinner. Oh, right away, sir. And he rushes off back into the house.
Silent is speechless, and I think the only thing that she like shows as far as expression is her hand on the hilt of her blade. It's just white knuckle like gripped, and she looks to her traveling companions and then to Hans. I think she like walks away.
Just back into the house.
She just goes back into the house.
Isn't this the garden where we saw that stuff flying around before at night?
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
But remember, the dome has been reactivated from the fisting hole room, so.
Right. Is Hans, all right, so Emmerich and I and Hans are all still there? Or?
Yeah, you guys are all still outside.
I'm going to ask Hans about the airship. I said, this is what your ladies built for you?
Yes, yes, they're very good at what they do.
This is very impressive.
We'll be taking this back to Mareel.
Oh, wow.
We're finally going back.
I believe it's time. I've located something that I'm going to need you and the brat to help me acquire. So we can discuss it over dinner, though. I know it's probably been a while since you guys have had it.
Definitely. And Randolph's cooking is legendary. So I'm going to stretch after being shrunk down to like a microscopic size and stretch it out a little bit and go back into the house, fix myself a drink.
Awesome.
When Plarion walks back in, Emmerich turns back to Hans.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered something while we were out.
What's that?
Something that I've had trouble wrapping my mind around. Was it Plarion and Graziella?
Yes.
And when Plarion and Graziella looked at it, they became violently ill, but were fortunate enough to recollect themselves. And I hand them the parchment that I cast the spell on. Rolled up, I'm giving him the option to.
Well, what do you think you're handing me?
That's part of the problem. I don't know.
Hexte. And one of the bakers, looks over the side. This, you know, this beautiful, blocky dwarven woman. Just, you know, short, curly hair, built like a fucking brick shithouse, but gorgeous. Looks over the side of the airship from above, and she just kind of steps off and drops like a fucking stone to the ground and just lands. Not like three-point lands, not like a stupid superhero style land, just lands like on her feet on the ground effortlessly. And he hands it to her and he says, you and the girls look at this, okay? She nods without a word and proceeds to kind of run towards the wall, kick herself up, jump off the wall, and back to the airship. Thank you for that, Emmerich. And he pats you on the shoulder.
There is a part of me that wants to believe that that is not possible, but a part of me that also wants to know how it could be.
Well, we will get to the bottom of it. It's what we do.
I guess I should prepare for dinner.
And he puts his arm over your shoulder and he goes, let's go inside. And as you guys are walking towards the door, he says, what do you know about making dough? And you guys walk through the front door.
Like, as we're talking about that, the fucking thunder is going off in the background.
You know what he's doing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what he's doing.
Is he recruiting him for the bakers?
Not just him. He's being an asshole. He's doing what Hans does the best.
No, I mean, Graziella got the rings.
Yeah, I'm curious what he's going to do when he sees it.
Silent, you, well, Em, you're playing Silent very well.
No doubt.
Not over yet.
reacting to the fucking shit around you.
The fuck? No, seriously.
The fuck? Just like, that's the literal devil. You guys are hanging out with the literal devil.
Well, and Emmerich's just like giving him fucking everything.
Yeah.
Here you go.
That's what she's most perturbed by. It's just Emmerich like, gave him here's everything we learned.
But he wants to, but not really though, because he wants to get rid of the devil and the Silver City. And you know what I mean? He's more like a student of chaos.
I think he's excited to get back to Mareel and collect all of his back pay.
He's excited to get back to Mareel. He gave Hans the two keys and the piece of mind-bending, world-shattering information that he is trying to understand.
Oh, good.
Now, is that the note with the demon seal on it? Is that where we're from?
No, it was the...
That's the thing that says we're missing time,
yeah, missing
right?
Of an entire...
Oh, missing time, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's so many earth-shattering scrolls around it. I didn't mean which one was right.
I will say Silent is probably going to be late for dinner.
She's going to take a minute.
She needs to
collect herself. I'm going to need a minute.
You're going to need a big pink crayon.
Put her in any random room.
Okay. I'll put her in, put her over here in the lounge because this is where the fountain is and all the couches and the hookahs. And everybody seems to be sitting down.
Does the Baron have a booster seat?
I think the Baron is standing on the chair.
does not need to sit.
And so Hans walks in and sits down and just kind of looks at the Baron. Huh. Hi.
Good evening.
Who are you?
Who am I? Who are you?
My name's Hansabar. You can call me Hans.
You can call me the Baron.
All right. Good to meet you, the Baron.
Likewise. You have a very interesting...
Plarion has been generous enough to let us stay in his home. I'm sure he entertains all sorts of royalty like yourself. Thank you. I like you too, little man. And he looks at Gary, and Hansabar says something, and it sounds kind of like clicks and whistles. And Gary says, oh, it is a pleasure to meet you too, and nods.
Can I understand him?
Yeah, he said, and you? And Hansabar says to Gary in rat, like perfect rat, good evening. It is a pleasure to meet you. And then carriers. So yeah, you guys are all sitting around the table. The food's coming in. Thank you very much, Randolph. I really appreciate all the work that you do here. I know Plarion does as well. And then Randolph, you know, he's just kind of walking in and out, in and out, in and out.
Good idea, Randolph. Thank you.
Of course, my lord. Shall I open a couple of bottles of wine?
Great idea.
Open the good wine, please, Randolph.
Right away, madam. Right away. And he dashes off, dashes back, pops the cork, hands it to Plarion, and is this...
I'm going to act like it's fine. Like, oh, exquisite choice, Randolph. Thank you,
sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And he, you know, pours for you first, and then everyone else he serves.
I know nothing about fine wines, so...
Right. but it's, I mean, it's your house, so that's how this rolls. So things are just getting set up and moving. Hans says, it's good to see you all back here. I'm glad that you didn't encounter too much trouble, and you seem to have made some friends along the way. This is wonderful. And then he just kind of looks at Graziella. It's a nice ring you got there.
I, like, pull it protectively towards me, and I'm like, it is mine, I found it.
You always were the one that made deals without knowing what you were getting yourself into, huh?
Yes, I am an excellent negotiator.
Gargling. chokes on his drink.
And Hans gives you kind of an approving, like grin nod.
I'm like, Hans, why didn't you tell me that if I looked through my sword, I could see all of the magic in the room? You never told me. I asked you to tell me about my sword, then you told me nothing of this. It would have been very helpful to know this earlier.
I don't know what blessings the Thief Lords put on Wood Brazers. It's not like they put out a book or something to let us all know.
So your sword does not do that?
It does not.
What does it do?
It allows me to look through your eyes.
Mm.
Or his. Or his. Yeah. Or Gary's.
Like whenever you want, like in private times, or, you know, when Emmy is checking his equipment.
So, where's your friend Silent?
So I think that's a smash cut to Silent in the other room. And she's just like, her fingers are like drumming on the notebook that she has in front of her, which is open to a blank page, and she has her pen ready, and it looks like she's about to have a panic attack. Is her little friend in the room as well?
Yeah, he's looking at this large aquarium, which has its own biosphere and looks like a miniaturized version of a couple of islands, complete with aquatic life and avian life.
That's pretty calming. Yeah, that's nice. I think she like looks around the room. It's couches and hookahs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so she looks at the hookah that's right next to her, and then and she like coughs it out for a while, and she takes her pen and she writes demon.
And that's a smash cut back to Hans.
She just needs a few moments to collect herself.
Fair enough. Was with me earlier, and I showed her how I could use some of her ink to make poisons, which Gary showed me while we were upstairs in the garden, and it was so interesting. Gary knows a lot about the alchemy, which I am surprised about, but he seems to know a lot about quite a bit of things.
Well, he's a librarian, of course he does.
He said he worked in a library. He said he worked in the Grand Library.
That does not surprise. Well, are you tired of collecting keys yet?
If we have a way of getting home.
Oh, yes, we'll definitely be returning to Muriel.
We're going home?
Soon, after dinner, if you'd like. We can start the journey then.
How long will it take to get home?
Maybe a day.
Have you been back?
Not yet. We just finished the airship last night.
There's an airship?
There is.
I like go back to my dinner.
I need your help finding a ring.
This ring.
No, you can keep that ring. That's fine.
And the ring is in Muriel.
I believe so.
You know where in the city it is?
No, but I believe her mother would know.
You know Mama?
We've met.
When?
Before the domes went up.
Wow.
And Graziella would know that your mother was young at that time.
Yeah, she would have to have been.
Yeah, like a child.
Because the dome's been up for like 100 years.
More than that.
200?
Like, yeah, about 210, 230.
How long do catfolk live?
Not as short as humans, not as long as elves. Somewhere in the middle. So they're about 300 years old, give or take.
More Graziella.
God help us.
Yeah.
But your mom would have been like a child, like, you know, 15, 16 at the time.
So like my age?
Yeah, pretty much. But yes, I need help finding this ring. Do you think you would be able to assist me in this?
If it would allow us to get back and check on some of the people that we've left behind.
Oh, I'll take you back regardless. This isn't a barter. I'm asking for a favor. You have a free ride home, right? I've got to go to Muriel anyway. I just need help finding this ring, and I am not necessarily sure that if I am running around the city trying to find it, I can be as effective as you might be able to, being...
Yeah, you might draw a little attention.
Yes, that is my concern as well.
And you say you think my mother knows where the ring is?
Or at least should have an idea, yes.
And she has never tried to take it for herself?
No, I'm not necessarily sure she knows what it does. It's fairly unassuming.
What does it do?
It may be the only thing that could save the world.
Good.
Well, we do live there.
Yeah, I mean...
Save the world from what exactly?
Right now, I believe that there is a power play going on. I think a deity, either a forgotten one or one that has slipped through from another reality might be working to overthrow or corrupt or control or puppet other deities above and below.
Did we tell him about the note that we found?
No, we haven't yet.
Okay.
So working under that theory, I think if we can remove objects from the game, then we have a chance of stopping all of them.
So we are going to have to fight this creature that came from another world.
I would prefer to use non-combat forms if possible, and I think this ring can help us do that.
And what of the keys that you needed us to collect? We're, what, only a third of the way through them? You said you needed them to open a door.
Yes. I will send my bakers to collect those keys. But this would be a more specialized task.
Well, I would like to go home and see my mother, and I am in favor of the world not ending and all of that, so... Yes, I suppose we shall help you.
Didn't necessarily say the world would end, more that we could save it.
I'm going to roll my star dice on this, because I really, I'm a traveler, and I really don't have any ties. Do you want me to actually roll dice?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's cool, because I know they work like an augury.
Yeah, they do. I just want to see what the sixes say.
So, what, three sixes?
Yep, 3d6s.
13.
Nice. It's actually kind of cloudy. What's interesting is it seems to be a lack of information more than anything. Yeah, so Plarion throws the dice, they hit the table, and it's a lack of information, the opposite of an augury. Not uncomfortable emptiness, it's just nothingness.
Outlook.
Yeah, my magic gate ball said.
Said try again later.
Try again later.
Mm-hmm.
While they're talking, I'm going to try and slyly, because I'm a fucking rogue. I'm going to try and slyly look at Hans through my sword.
Okay.
As slyly as one can look at a giant devil man through a sword at a dinner table, you know.
Right next to him.
Yeah.
Where is Emmerich sitting?
He is right across from me.
Okay. Emmerich, make a perception check. Hell yeah. Yeah, okay. You see her get the idea. Like, you watch the idea actually come into her head. And you see her kind of reach down to kind of pick up her sword. And I will give you an action if you want to stop her or make any action or move. Ooh. That's your call.
How far apart are we?
I mean, she's just across the table from you.
Okay. Emmerich just sort of shakes his head directly at her and then turns to Hans and says, yes, I think at least the two of us, motioning to Graziella, like kind of emphatically, agree that we will retrieve this item for you.
Do you look at it through your sword still?
No, I get it, and I put the sword back down.
Okay.
I'm going to put my dice away and shrug and say, hey, I might as well.
Gargoyle's just eating.
Yeah, I'm going to have some more wine after.
Doubling into his face. If he notices everybody looking at him, he'll say, yeah, I'm coming.
I think this is quite a good idea. I can't wait to go, says Gary.
I think it will be wonderful to see my mother again and be able to show her all the great new talents I have learned. I can do, and I like start changing my colors again, and I show Hans my jar of lightning.
We need to talk. He just looks at her. We're going to talk later.
Do you want to see?
No. I'm really worried that you have a jar of lightning, to be completely honest with you.
I made it!
Thank you, I'm not the only one.
You shouldn't have a jar of lightning.
Oh, I also have a jar of rain of frogs and a jar of cape of wasps.
You should not have a fork.
I know it's not your fault, Emmerich, but aren't you supposed to be watching her?
I'm a fucking thief lord baker, motherfucker.
Do you say that?
No, I'm a drunken top.
I was gonna say.
You should all be very concerned.
Living embodiment of chaos.
That would have been a fun play out. I'm a thief lord baker motherfucker. to Hans, of all people. It's like the slowest fucking head turn pan you've ever seen.
No, because I don't think she really knows what that means.
Right, yeah, she has no idea.
Like, I don't think she knows she's a baker because she has the baker ring. Like,
There's maybe 75 people on the Prime Material plane that know what that means.
Yeah.
Maybe.
She just knows she's got a cool ring that lets her do stuff. She's got that ring. She's got a Charn ring. She's got a fucking Ephraim's razor. She's the only druid in fucking Maya. Oh, I hate all of you.
It's pretty horrible shit.
I'm wondering whether we should tell him about the note that we found.
Remind me, Jim, what note did we find?
The note about the snake.
I will tell them.
Yeah, right. The snake, the one that we found when we found the sugar cookie recipe. Remember?
Oh yeah, the what like.
About, the thing about the snake woman rising in the desert.
Yeah, all the frickin' backgroundy information. North Wind, Old Coven, Second Kingdom, all that stuff.
Who's carrying that note, by the way?
Silent.
It's not, yeah.
Silent it made a rubbing.
On a wall. She wrote it all down and then she took a rubbing of it.
Anton, do I know what the ring... I know that I put it on and I can't take it off. It put itself on me. And mm-hmm. I know that I can conjure thieves' tools with it. Mm-hmm. But do I know what else it does?
No.
I'm gonna ask him.
Why?
So you did not give me that much information about my sword, but do you know what the ring does? I know it lets me do this, and I like tools. And I'm like, and I feel very strongly about cookies, but I don't know what else.
And he makes a gesture with his hands, and he goes, do this. And he does a gesture.
I do the gesture.
Roll a dexterity check.
Am I about to conjure a ladle? A reflex save?
No, dexterity check. Just roll your dex dice.
That? 11?
There we go. Not quite. And then you guys kind of go back and forth with it for a few minutes. And then, as you finally get it, a paring knife shows up in your hand.
I can make knives, and I, like, throw it across the room, and it sticks in the wall behind Flareon's head.
Hold on.
Roll. Better roll again.
No, he's a gracious. Yeah, he's a gracious guest. He wouldn't let her throw a knife at the wall. Yeah, he fucking catches it.
Grabs. Like I meant to hand it to him. Like it's totally, it's cool. It's chill.
And it's like you don't see him do anything with it, but it's like he moves and it just kind of palms the knife and then it's gone.
I try and make another knife.
And after a couple of attempts, you pull it off.
So I can just make knives now?
You're pulling them from the drawer.
Which drawer?
There are drawers, and you're pulling them from the drawer.
So there is a finite number of knives?
Yes.
What happens when they are gone?
We make new ones and put them in the drawer.
What else is in the drawer?
Nothing that you have access to yet.
I just keep making knives, just practicing. I've learned a new skill, trying to get better at it.
Yeah, and you can make paring knives.
I make like four and then I stop. I hand them to Hans. I don't want these. Like, you take care of this.
So dinner continues. Does Silent join at any point?
I think eventually the door like opens and she steps inside and doesn't actually say anything.
Okay.
And then she like sits down and crosses her arms.
So at the head of the table is Hans, sitting over here.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, there is a thin red silk parachute pants wearing open, long, floor-length silk red-robed, multiple horns jutting out of his back, red skin, contracts hanging from each of those horns. Contract demon. Who is dainty, and he is delicately eating a salad using the proper fork at the other side of the table. And he sees you enter, and he goes, oh, hello.
Silent just stares at this new demonic entity.
Oh, yeah. That's Charn. Charn, Silent. Silent, Charn.
A pleasure to meet you.
And she, like, keeps staring at Charn. And then she turns to Plerion. She's like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah, Charn's a no-shit demon. There's no hiding that Charn is a no-shit.
She uncrosses her arms and she, like, she motions to Charn. She's like, what? What? Are you serious? Have you... What? She doesn't know what to do with herself. She's like, you've seen this guy, right?
Yeah.
What? Charn. What? What?
I pour Silent to drink. Kind of push it over.
She takes it and just... It's just rattling in her hand.
Don't worry, you get used to it.
You guys are running a really weird ship around here. I don't know if I'm down for this.
Oh, it's fun.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. And she motions to Charn. Do you think this is a guy you should have at your dinner table? He's got contracts on him. That guy's a troll. He's 7 feet tall. I'm tall. He's taller than I am. These guys are clearly demons, you guys.
Don't be so demonist.
What? She like...
What's the difference between a demon and an angel?
Well, there aren't any angels sitting at this dinner table, as far as I'm aware.
That makes for a safer meal.
They are very good at...
Yeah, I bet. You know, I read books. There's a lot of lore about these sorts. Arglin, you should know, with your bardic knowledge.
Yeah, but you can't just judge somebody by their looks. Even the dwarves know that. Think of them as writing prompts.
Yes, they have been very polite and helpful ever since I waved at his shadow when he walked through the wall.
We're so helpful.
Silent absorbs that.
Like you do.
She, like, takes that drink that Garland passed her and just fucking downs it.
And I just continue, well, that's how we met Hans. Charn, of course, came with the house. But now I have a ring that controls him, and there are these pillars, and he pops up, and he's very helpful.
I pour Silent another drink.
Yep. She takes that one, too. I'm gonna need a few more.
Silent. Hansvar is addressing you. Silent, I have a question.
Yes?
You write a story, and your friend writes. One of you is on the east bank of the river, and one of you is on the west bank of the river. You see a boat traveling down the river, and you both decide to write a story about that boat. The only perspective you can give is the perspective from your bank. You know not what your friend sees. Neither of you can tell the same story. You seem to be well-read, but maybe not well-versed in everything.
I'm generally open to trying new experiences. She turns to look at him. What's your angle?
Non-Euclidean.
Does that mean anything to her?
Does that mean anything to anyone at this table?
It's a really funny one-liner. Non-Euclidean angle is, it would be like an angle that is not 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't follow the laws of logic or physical geometry.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually like it's not a possible shape. It's an impossible form.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your angle? And he says non-Euclidean. It'd be like, what are you? And it would be like somebody answering impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think she puts that together. And she takes another big drink of alcohol. Oh, boy.
Come on, you know you want to.
If I listen to that every time someone said it to me. Which I usually do, but...
Right, so it's agreed. Gargoyle slams his hand down on the table.
Good. So you're going to go find this ring for me, right?
Hey, are you going to tell us why we're looking for a ring? Or I just because?
I'd like to put something away. I think this ring could help me put it away.
Cryptic.
I have a picture of it. Hold on. And he just reaches inside of this jacket, which you see no pockets. So he like just reaches in and produces a small folded piece of kind of brown paper. And he unfolds it and he hands it to Emmerich.
Emmerich looks at it.
You got a knowledge nature roll for me?
Try one. I can find it.
You would know. This was an Ornithoichus Anatolis.
Cool.
Yeah. I think I went to school with that guy.
It has sort of a mallard bill. And sort of the body of a small, furry woodland creature, and a flat tail like a beaver, and the ring creates kind of a circle, and the bill is clamped onto the flat tail, and its four little webbed feet are kind of curled around.
It's a platypus ring.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ring you want us to find.
I believe Graziella's mother knows where it is.
Do you show the rest of us the piece of paper?
Yeah, I pass it around.
Have I ever seen a platypus before?
I don't know.
Or would I know what a platypus is?
Throw me a knowledge nature.
Okay, sure. Nope.
Nope, no idea.
I need to be better at those checks. Nope.
Does it come around?
Yeah.
I'll also look it over. Boop.
No clue.
Looks weird. It looks like nothing I've ever come across before.
Yes, to us it just looks like a weird amalgamation of creatures in a ring.
I rolled a one.
When the paper makes its way to Garglin, he'll kind of wipe his mouth off with his hand. He'll make a bardic knowledge check.
Yeah, Garglin knows exactly what it is.
And it is a platypus?
Yeah.
I'll say it's a platypus. What's wrong with you?
What is a platypus?
What the hell's a platypus?
Believe it or not, it is actually a natural occurring animal. I'm guessing they're not native to...
No.
Yeah.
To the desert?
Well documented as the life of the desert platypus.
So this is some sort of ring fashioned to look like one.
Yes.
Well, they do have poisonous barbs.
Do they?
Yeah.
What the hell is this creature?
That ring is going to lock something away.
This is a joke, right?
I have a theory.
What, the barb thing?
No, the barb is for real.
Yeah. I think it's just the males, but yeah, they have a poisonous barb, like, in their platypus wrist.
They're the only poisonous mammal.
Other than man.
I suppose if you're going to fashion a powerful item into a ring, you want to make it look as asinine as possible.
I thought it was a good idea.
Did you make this ring?
No, I'm not that clever.
Who did make the ring?
I'm not sure, but I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. I'm still trying to figure out how it ended up in this city. That I don't know. So I need help finding this.
Out of curiosity, why aren't you doing it?
I cannot comfortably move around the city.
Yeah, you might.
I wonder why.
Attract a little bit of attention. I have no idea. He's, 8 foot tall. Control with the...
He looks, for the first time, Hans looks slightly taken aback. There's nothing wrong with a purple suit.
Well, and we know so much about the city.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant that it would stand out. That's all.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's to draw the eye. It's beauty.
I appreciate your natatorial sense.
Thank you. I think.
Even Consorial. Though the gnomes have already come down, the city is still a little wary of things it's not familiar with.
Well, I'm needed up north, and I have to aid a friend who seems to have gotten her and her traveling companions into a bit of trouble. I'm currently planning a trip to see if I could aid them in any way.
So you are not coming with us?
I will drop you off at the city, and then I will fly up north and return when I am done.
And when you come back, where will you go from there?
That depends on what I learn while I'm up north.
How dangerous will it be for us to hold on to this item?
I don't think anyone's looking for it, so probably not very dangerous.
Can I put it on?
No.
I look sullen.
I'm definitely going to put it on now.
Yeah. Is that a ring just for her or for everybody?
I don't think it would be a good idea for anyone to put it on, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I'm just checking. It's a fair question.
Yes. Oh, no, it isn't.
Okay, well, let's finish dinner and let's go.
Awesome. Let's get to the new map before we call it a night.
If there's a moment, I wanted to pull Emmerich aside and talk to him in private.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk to Emmerich. I'm going to pull up the new map.
Emmerich, should we pass this note on to Hans? Silence is holding that we found about the rising or whatever?
I feel fairly certain Hans may already know about this. However, I would like to keep some things close to the chest.
Okay, that seems fair. Shrug my shoulders, Sam. Okay.
Where is this going?
We did find it near what I assume is one of these bakers. When Graziella showed up with the ring, he didn't ask any questions where she got it. He didn't seem alarmed that she had it. Well, other than what we saw. But, again, I get the feeling he knows.
I was wondering if there's any information in there, even if he knows, that might be helpful to him, or us, if he were able to, explain it to us. But I understand the idea of keeping some cards under the table.
Excellent.
Yeah. So he brings you guys out to the front lawn. Would you like Randolph to mind the house while you're not here? He asks Clarion.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
I'll speak to him about it. I'll go off to do that while the rest of everybody else is getting ready.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to put my traveling clothes back on and take some of those lotus petals and say goodbye to the naked ladies and like, bye-bye.
Emmerich gets all his gear together. Does he still have a key ring?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he brings that with him. I mean, he still has those toolkits, the surgical kits.
So you guys get to the, there's like a rope ladder that leads up to the airship. You guys gonna climb to the top. It's a fairly easy climb, which is strange, but you feel like maybe there's a enchantment on the ladder itself that makes it so that it doesn't cause a strain to the body when you're climbing. So you guys get up the rope ladder and onto the top deck of the ship. And it looks very much just like your traditional seafaring vessel. There's a large circle of arcane energy that floats about an inch above the deck. And other than that, the deck is just kind of a wide open area. There's a door that seems to lead to what you would assume would be the captain's chambers. And Hans just kind of walks through that and says, you can use the north and or starboard and port side drop downs. There's ladders here and here, and that'll take you to lower decks. There's a crew deck and a cargo deck. There is a back room. I would ask that you please avoid going in there. That's what powers this thing, and I don't think you would really want to mess with that level of magic. But by all means, you have full run of the ship. It'll take us about a day to get there. And he pops off to his chambers, and you guys have free run of the ship. So is there any upkeep or anything you guys want to do?
I'm going to dump the spells I didn't use into potions.
Okay.
Now that we're traveling, I'll pray to Vorkastis.
You feel like renewed with energy.
Now that we're traveling again.
Yeah, now that you're traveling again, you feel really good. You guys can kind of see as the airship gains some altitude, looking down, the city you guys are in looks like it's been decimated by maybe meteor strikes. Looks like something large has fallen from the sky in multiple places and just like blasted holes in the city.
In the city that we were in, because we never really left the Night Garden.
Right, you never left the Night Garden. So the city looks pretty fucked up. You guys gain a lot of altitude. You can see that there are lights down there. You don't know if they're campfires or residual burning from whatever the meteor strikes were, or if maybe there's like intelligent population surviving in the city, maybe some small packs of civilization. You're not really sure what the hell it is, but there definitely does look like there are lights in the city and things going on. They're just very sparse because these cities are huge. You gain some more altitude, you cut through the cloud cover. It's kind of a cloudy night. You get above the clouds. And it's kind of like the Hexbane is coasting on a sea of clouds. You know, your stars are stretched out above you. The moon is crescent, but it's still very fucking bright. The white moon, Solaris. The dark moon is, it wouldn't be in the sky down here this time of year, so you wouldn't see it at night. You might see it during the day, but you would definitely not see it at night.
Now that we're out and above the cloud, are we above the cloud cover?
Yeah, you're above the cloud cover.
Okay, I'm going to consult my star charts and map out exactly where this city is in relation to the others.
It is definitely one of the other six jewels of Mashkala. Mm-hmm. You're just going to have to figure out... you're not entirely sure because the maps that you have are older. Mm-hmm. But you figure once you get back to your home, you'll be able to... In Muriel, you'll be able to look and see like maybe where it is. You can pretty much pinpoint skywise though where you are. Without even a roll. That's an awesome ability.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Takes time to switch out some spells on his eyes.
Okay. What's Graziella doing? Making potions?
Right before we go to bed, she's going to do it. She's not going to throw her spells away until she knows we're bedding down for the night.
All right.
She's fucking taking it all in, man. She's never been on a boat in the sky before.
All of the
birds and shit.
I'm on a boat.
All of the rooms. Are bunked, so there's two beds to each room. So what room is she in?
She will be in the northeastern room.
Okay.
Yep.
With Emmy or Silent?
With Emmy.
Okay. Where?
With Clarion, hey now.
Where did I move the wrong miniature? Okay, cool. Where would Plarion and Garland be?
Garland's pretty indifferent, so he'll just pick a room.
Okay, I'm gonna put the Baron in with Garland. I feel like the Baron really likes Garland, so I think he's gonna be in there with Gary. So Silent's gonna be kind of at the bow.
Yeah, she's kind of looking out into the night sky.
It's only like one night. I'm gonna sleep out on the deck, like under the stars.
Okay,
this is kind of thing.
Garland's gonna rest up during the voyage because he's still pretty beat up from the squid monster thing.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. So there's a knock on Emmerich and Graciela's door.
How long have we been down?
Probably been an hour.
I roll over and I'm like, Emmy, get the door.
Go answer the door.
Is the brat awake?
Somewhat. She's conscious.
I assume you're not talking about me.
Well, I'm not talking about Emmerich. Who do you think I'm talking about?
Betty, wake me up and be rude to me. I like indifferently stand up and get out of bed.
Come with me.
I assume Graziella was on the top bunk.
Yeah, of course.
Emmerich's a bottom.
Right.
All right, I go with him.
So he climbs up the rope ladder and walks up to the top deck and stands inside the summoning circle, or inside the circle. He kind of turns around and looks at you.
Okay.
And he kind of motions you to walk into the circle.
I like make eye contact with him as I walk into the circle, like acting as if I am fearless, but I am.
Right.
Probably not very well fronting that.
Silence turned around to watch this, kind of leaning against the railing of the ship. Passive.
Because you figured out what it does, but you don't know how to use it. And he motions to the razor.
I pull it out.
He pulls out his. And he says, come on, show me what you got.
Oh, like, stand on guard. And like, I'm Arya with her water dancing.
Right. Rolled it. Exactly. That's pretty much exactly what this is. Rolled it.
Not going to go well for her. Okay, here I go. Ephraim's razor. Pew! Wait, nope, wrong button. Pew! 20 and a 16.
Not bad. It doesn't even come close. He just kind of sidesteps it. And he taps you on the left shoulder with his and kind of steps around you. You guys are moving back and forth. He says, you're not focused. Don't mention. This is problematic. You're going to get yourself killed. Is that what you want?
No. Teach me to be better.
So you have to use everything at your disposal. You're thinking too one-dimensionally. And you guys kind of keep moving back and forth. And you feel like as he moves, he's not just moving in physical space, but his body itself is kind of shifting and conforming to the area that he's moving in. It's as if he's almost made of liquid as he moves, and you know, you're stepping with him. It's almost like you guys are dancing. He says, you have to be bigger, you have to be stronger, you can be both of those things, you know that. And you know, he like taps you on the arm, and it's a little harder than he has been. It seems like as he's hitting you a little harder. You're getting more and more frustrated as you're kind of striking towards them. He's like, you know you can hit me, just fucking hit me.
I'm gonna try and cast a spell at him.
Go for it.
Okay.
You've blown all your spells, yeah.
No, I dumped my thirds and my fourths.
Ah.
So I am going to cast Flaming Sphere at him.
Okay. And as the Flaming Sphere appears, he holds out the flat of his blade and he lets it roll down. And he kind of rolls it across his shoulder and kind of pushes it back towards you.
And as he's like dealing with the fire, I try and go in for another stab with the razor.
He's like, good.
Try to distract him with it to go back with the sword.
Roll to hit.
21. Why am I rolling so shitty?
You have more than two hands. Learn to fight with all of your limbs. And he kind of sweeps the foot. And he knocks you on your butt. You're better than this. Come on.
Like, get really mad and like come at him. Okay. Furiously. Like, ragey. And I'm like using my spark cantrip to try and like distract him. And
Roll a d20.
17.
Excellent. As Graziella dashes towards him, Hans gets a wry smile, and Silent seeing all of this play out. And she leaves the ground as a catfolk. And as she makes contact with Hansabar, she is a large jaguar.
I do not skip a beat. I go right fucking for him.
Yeah, and I mean, you hit hard. And as you're like making contact, he's deflecting it and he starts laughing. And he's like, good, good. And like, you're hitting. And you kind of take a step back and you realize that you're on all fours and you're on the ground and you're looking at paws that are giant, and they're not catfolk paws. They're these big fucking, like, jaguar paws. And your brain is kind of dealing with that. And as you're trying to process it all, you kind of look up at Hans, and you're seeing him through these animal eyes, and you see that he's got these large red wings and this long red tail, and his neck is more elongated, and he has very draconic features, and he smiles and he says, "See what you can do when you put your mind to it."
I'm gonna think about another bigger animal,
and that's where we're gonna stop for the day.
I want to be a dinosaur.
So Silence just standing there watching this, and she watches Graziella.
That cat became a cat.
Yeah, a jaguar. And you're like, wait, the hell just happened?
Silent is having a hard day.
And the entire time, Silent's sitting here going, people don't do this. What is happening?
She just, like, sighs, shakes her head. Read a lot of books, but this is a new one.
And that is, that's where we're going to call it a night, as you guys see way in the distance the spires of Muriel.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Mama, I'm coming home, and I'm a putty tat.
I'm coming home. So yeah, now you can access your Jaguar Druid form.
Yeah, motherfucker. Wow.
Jaguar.
Thank you for listening to Crown of Queens. Emmerick is played by Maddie A. at MG Allen on Twitter. Garglin Yelt is played by Arrow Odd at RPG Home Brewery on Twitter. Graziella is played by Vanessa Singleton at Evil V Cookie on Twitter. Clarion the Unscrutable is played by our Dauphine of Audio at Yoda Jones on Twitter. Silent Nocturne is played by M at GameMaker M on Twitter. Our special guest, the Baron, is played by Matt Garbett at ArtMonkeyMG on Twitter. Our storyteller is Anton at Old Magic Gaming on Twitter.
Welcome back. You're like one of those Russian femme fatales with your cigarette and the ash still holding on. I am back.
It's the leather pants that sell it.
Oh, hell yeah. Hello, my name is Natasha, and I am here.
Hello.
Hello. Wolf named Wolf.
Hello, I'm Julia. I make you good sex. $5 hour.
How I met my last girlfriend.
It's a good deal. I mean, especially with the conversion rates nowadays. Steve, my friend, did you eat any vegetables today?
I did, actually.
Nice.
I had shepherd's pie. That has vegetables in it.
It does. There's lots of vegetables.
I eat healthy when I feel like staying alive.
When you eat.
Yeah, when I eat. For dinner, I had gummy bears.
Very you know. Rich in riboflavin or
kind
something.
Of like fruit.
I think it says there's it's 100% fruit, it says on this bag that I'm making up.
Mm. It says in Russian that I'm loosely translating.
Right.
Very healthy gummy snack time fun.
It's made out of 34% sugar and nothing else.
Yep.
Pretty sure that's not how math works, but whatever.
Yeah, horse hooves and probably cancer.
Probably.
It's delicious.
Well, yeah. The cigarettes have vitamin C in them, so it
evens out. There you go.
Prevents scurvy.
Yeah. Not everybody wants scurvy.
Everybody wants scurvy.
Just pirates.
All the cool kids want scurvy.
Donkey.
I don't know. These mini donkeys are pretty great. This one's named Tulip.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. And you can put them in all sorts of outfits, like top hats and monocles.
Steve, oh, shit. Are you just Googling images of miniature donkeys now?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You're on that same watch list as Anton.
I am now.
Welcome to the watch list.
Here's a lady riding a miniature donkey's hugging.
Aww. Hugging?
Bondage mask.
Wait, bondage mask.
I don't. It's got some kind of... Oh, God.
Yeah, I
haven't clicked on that.
Yeah, just use the line, there's no middle ground with donkeys. And then make a t-shirt.
Listen, all I know is that on eBay for $465, you can buy a padded protective head facial helmet for a miniature donkey. Kind of makes it look like a really sick Pikachu.
What?
Oh. I think it's the that being said while sipping coffee out of a snowman mug that's really telling like crotchety old man of it all.
Yeah,
the fact that it's on eBay though makes it sound like it's not that protected.
Well, it makes it sound like it's been used.
Yeah, I feel like it didn't work very well.
No, it says it's brand new, unused, and unopened.
So what happened to the donkey?
The donkey.
Did you use it?
I don't know. There's a lot of pictures. Like, a lot of pictures.
What story? Is that a story in one sentence? Slightly used donkey protective headgear. Only used once.
Has some teeth embedded.
What concerns me is that the seller's name is for equine only, as you would wear this thing for God knows fucking what. You could not fit a human head inside of that protected padded head facial helmet for miniature donkeys.
Oh, so miniature donkey heads are smaller than human heads?
They're shaped differently.
Squeezy?
That's not stopped anyone before.
This is true. I'm not going to search that though, right now.
Please be honest, are you buying miniature donkey padded
heads? Listen, I have been known to trunk shop. So if next Thursday a miniature donkey padded protective facial helmet shows up at my house, we will know that shit went real sideways.
You have to try and put it on. I have a picture in the Discord.
Oh no, yeah, if my head fits in that thing, I'm wearing it for every game we've ever had.
It's gonna arrive and then you're just like, shit, I'm gonna have to buy a miniature donkey now. Next Thursday.
Yeah, right. Why did I buy this? I don't even have a miniature donkey now. I have to get a miniature donkey.
It's awesome.
You guys are female.
I gotta buy a miniature horse to put next to it. Otherwise, right? He's just an ass.
That's so funny.
You guys will see me. I'll just be up to my ears in miniature donkeys. I'll be like, I don't know what happened.
Suddenly, you're just a donkey farmer.
In a third floor apartment in Manaca.
Yeah. It's well known for its donkey farming.
I'm shooting another commercial. You just come walking in.
Yeah.
So we were like, remember that night when Steve got really interested in animal husbandry?
I just took my first ranks in wilderness lore.
Everybody
goes sideways. You can just open up like a street side butcher's.
Just throw it out the window to the people down below.
Okay, that's not a vegetable.
Make glue.
I don't know if that's true. I'm going to look that up too. Are miniature donkeys a vegetable?